The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Zion Primitive Baptist Church in Zion, Alabama. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.
I want to welcome you today to the Zion Primitive Baptist Church podcast. This podcast is an outreach of Zion Primitive Baptist Church, which is located in the Zion community near Gordo, Alabama. I'm Elder Chris McCool, and I serve as pastor of Zion Primitive Baptist Church. We are a congregation of believers in the sovereign grace of God, where families worship together through the simple practice of preaching, praying, and singing. If you live in this area or are visiting here, we would love to have you attend worship services with us. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. and every Sunday evening at 5 p.m. and the first and third Wednesday evenings at 6:30 p.m. I'm happy to note that our daily podcast is featured on Grace Alone Radio, which you can find at gracealoneradio.net. You can find the schedule on the website, and you can also download an app to your phone so that you can listen wherever you are. Grace Alone Radio is a 24-hour streaming service which carries the message of God's sovereign grace around the clock and around the world. Zion Primitive Baptist Church is located at 9487 County Road 49, Gordo, Alabama. That's near the intersection of County Road 49 and Alabama Highway 159, about 8 miles north of Gordo, Alabama, and about 10 miles northeast of Reform, Alabama. If you're interested in finding more sermons, you can go to our website at zionpbc.com. That's zionpbc.com, where you'll find all of our posted sermons, as well as a link to subscribe to our podcast. You can also subscribe to our website, which will update you every time a new sermon is posted. As we approach the end of the Hall of Faith chapter, we find a list of some other heroes of faith from the Old Testament. Their accomplishments are summarized, but not listed specifically. Nonetheless, they are examples of great faith. And even greater than this, we find a reference to other characters about which it is said that the world was not worthy of them. These great men and women of faith, who were not delivered from the persecutions here on earth in a timely sense, chose faith over earthly deliverance. But nonetheless, they were delivered into the world to come. Join us as we begin looking today at the last part of Hebrews chapter 11.
Oh, Tonight, I want us to go back to the book of Hebrews, and Lord being our helper tonight, we'll finish up with the 11th chapter, where we've been for some time. The 11th chapter we call the Hall of Faith, and we've been touring the Hall of Faith for several weeks. Some mighty characters here with some mighty deliverances by God. And it's tempting, if we're not careful, to study the 11th chapter of Hebrews as just a standalone chapter, as if it doesn't have any context, if the chapters, 1 through 10 and the rest of the book of Hebrews don't exist. But it's important to remember the context in which the entire book, including the 11th chapter, was written. You see, this book of Hebrews was written to struggling Christians who were being greatly influenced to give up, to turn back, to go back to the old ways of Judaism, and to forsake the faith that has now been given to them in Christ. And also, it's important to remember that all of these examples we're reading about, except with the possible exception of what we're about to talk about, but so far at least, all of the examples we've been reading about of these great witnesses, these martyrs, so to speak, and I don't mean that in the sense of they died. Martyr just means witness. These examples of faith that he's using are Old Testament examples, okay? Abel, Moses, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. We're about to see David, Gideon, Barak, Samson, and others. And what the point of this book of Hebrews is all about is to encourage these Christians today not to give up. And we're going to see by the end of this message, Lord being our helper, that what he's basically going to be telling them is that all the Old Testament saints who had faith and stuck to it did not have it as clear and as good as you have it today. In other words, the whole theme of better is still applying. New Testament Christians that are struggling still have it better than the Old Testament saints, even the martyrs, none of whom had the promises fulfilled in Christ yet. So with that in mind, let's get into the chapter here where we left off last time. We had finished last time talking about the faith of Rahab the harlot in verse 31. Tonight, we're going to begin in verse 32. Now listen to this. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David also and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again. Now listen to what he's saying up to this point. He's telling us about the faith of all these Old Testament saints, and he's telling us, first of all, that faith sometimes achieves great things. Look at what all we're talking about here. Even here, this is not a list of perfect people, remember. We talked about Rahab the harlot last time. We talked about, he mentions David here, who we know the downfall of David, right? But let's look and see what they did. It says in verse 33, it says, through faith they subdued kingdoms. Well, he's mentioned Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah. These were all judges who, through their efforts, through faith and trusting the Lord, they subdued kingdoms that had overcome the kingdom of Israel at the time. Remember Gideon. Now remember, these aren't perfect Christians. Gideon struggled with faith. Remember, Gideon had to have two signs. He had to have the dew on the rug at one point and the dew off of the rug the next time. It wasn't enough that there was just dew in one place. He was from Manasseh. He was from the smallest tribe of Israel. His house was the weakest house. You can go back to the book of Judges and read about it. When you got Gideon, you were scraping the bottom of the barrel. He wasn't from the tribe of Judah, you know. Judah was always the big kid on the block, right? When you got Gideon, you were from the smallest place. And then when he got the army together, And he had thousands of men. God said, that's too many. He said, you get rid of most of them. And with 300, a small minority of soldiers, 300 soldiers, Gideon's army of 300 soldiers with trumpets and torches and jars defeated the army of Midian through faith. You know, Gideon wasn't a perfect example of persevering faith either. If you go back and read about Gideon, you'll find that towards the end of his life, he fell back into idolatry. But he was a child of God who overcame at that point in his life by faith. He wasn't perfect. He struggled with faith. Barak, okay, is also one of the judges. Barak refused to go to war without Deborah. He went to battle with Sisera's armies there in the book of Judges, who had a far superior army, had 900 chariots of iron. Go back and read the record. Barak wouldn't go without this lady coming along with him, you see. He mentions Jephthah here. Jephthah, you would think, might be one of the ones he just conveniently glossed over, because Jephthah sacrificed his own daughter due to a foolish vow he made. When he went out and won the battle in the book of Judges, he said, Lord, I'll kill the first thing that comes out of the door of my house. I'll sacrifice that to you. Boy, that teaches not to make a rash statement, won't it? And then he sacrificed her because she was the first thing that came out. He was the son of a prostitute. His half-brothers ran him out, refusing to recognize him as part of the family. He ran from those brothers, but later through faith defeated the army of the Ammonites and chased them, we're told, through 20 cities. He was a man with issues, but who through faith subdued kingdoms. What about Samson? Samson wasn't a perfect man either. He let a woman take him down. We'll come back to him in a moment, but David, remember David? When he defeated Goliath, they routed the Philistines, and he fought the Philistines all of his life. Now, what are we using? What's he showing us these names for? What's he telling us these names for? He's showing us tangible, real-life examples of the little guy becoming mighty in faith and putting the bullies to flight, putting those who would come against the kingdom of God, he routing them through faith. See, by ourselves, we are just little guys. We've got flaws. I don't know about you, but I do. And if you talk to my family, they'll tell you. They've seen them better than I do sometimes. But through faith, we have the power of God on our side. You know, faith is the key that unlocks the power of God. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying there. I'm not preaching. We're fixing to see that. I'm not preaching a prosperity gospel, that if you just have faith, you'll have all kind of spiritual power. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying to you is this, is that if you don't have faith, you know, none of these promises of the Bible are going to be worth anything to you. And most likely, you're not going to be out there subduing kingdoms because you're going to be hiding in fear. Without faith, that's all we have is fear. Because I'm telling you, the armies of this world are greater than anything we could get together. If we could just take the Primitive Baptists, for example. If we could get every Primitive Baptist in this world together at one time in one place, it probably wouldn't take much of an army to defeat us. Because there's just not a lot of us, right? And there's other. I'm not saying we're the only people of God there are. Yeah, you know that. We believe there's children of God in every nation and kindred and tongue and tribe. But just those of us that are of like precious faith, if we got together and banded together, it wouldn't probably take much for the armies of the world to just completely overrun us. But see, we don't have to do that. We don't have to, you know, Gideon got together the big army and God said, that's too many. I don't want you taking this army into the field because you'll think you won it. He took the 300 and God won it. You know, there was a man in Israel who stood head and shoulders above all the rest. His name was Saul. When the time came for him to let David take his place, he tried to give David his armor. He was a man of war. See, he had armor. David didn't have armor. David was a little shepherd boy. He was the least of the least, so to speak. He was the youngest brother of eight brothers, and he was not even over there at the battle to fight the battle. He was just there to bring them some food. He was there to let the grown-ups, to help the grown-ups out. You know, we would have looked at David and said, listen, let the grown-ups talk, son. That's basically what his brother said. He said, what is this uncircumcised Philistine doing? And Eliab said, man, get on out of here. Let the grown-ups are talking. But you know what happened then? That little insignificant shepherd boy went down into the valley of Elah there and won one of the greatest victories, a victory that we still call by his name today. We still talk about, even in the secular world, the David and Goliath battle, right? That's what we use that. You know, when some little man wins a big victory, we say, oh, that was a David versus Goliath victory. You know why? Because David did win over Goliath. There was a David and there was a Goliath, and David won through the power of God. See, through faith, they conquered kingdoms. Through faith, they wrought righteousness. Listen to this. They wrought righteousness. Righteousness just means justice. That, especially in the Old Testament usage. You know, it takes courage and faith to stand for right when all others deserted. And that the history of the kingdom of Israel has been was ups and downs. Sometimes they do right, but most of the time they did wrong. Sometimes they sought justice, but most of the time they did injustice. Doing the right thing is not easy, and it's almost never popular. Think about Nathan the prophet. We've used David in a good way. Let's use him in a bad way. You know the story of David and Bathsheba. You know that he had Uriah killed. You know that he almost got away with it, as men look at it. As a matter of fact, as far as he was concerned, he had gotten away with it. And Nathan, the prophet, walked up to the most powerful man in the kingdom of Israel and pointed his finger in his face and said, thou art the man. Now that takes courage and faith. That takes faith. That takes a sense of holy boldness that we don't always have. Elijah confronted King Ahab. You know, Ahab sent three bands of men after him. They found out where he was, and he made the statement to his friend. I love that. I can't remember the exact address over there in 1 Kings, but he was talking to Ahab was the king of Israel, I believe, and he's talking to the king of Judah, and he said, I hate that man. Talking about Elijah, he said, I hate him. He never tells me what I want to hear. And finally, Elijah comes. He confronted him. Now, we know Elijah also ran when Jezebel got after him, but ultimately God set that right too. What about, let's make it a modern example. What about when we stand firm and publicly in favor of the biblical model of the family against others who call us hateful? Against others who tell us that we're preaching hate. Now, I know in America it hadn't gotten to the point where preachers are being muzzled for saying that yet. But we mentioned Elder David Crawford earlier, and he took a trip to Scotland a few years ago and attended a church there that was similar to ours on its beliefs and its way of worship. And the preacher preached on the current state of the transgender heresies and the way that an ungodly form of marriage was being promoted and indeed endorsed in that country. And Brother David asked him later, he said, do you get in trouble for preaching that? He said, the local district attorney, or their version of it, has already contacted me once and said, hey, I'm watching you. And we can't imagine that in America today, okay? But it's coming. It's coming. It'll be here soon. I mean, we already on social media are excoriated. You know, I fully expect any time I preach upon the biblical family and the biblical model for family and against the things that are promoted by the world, I fully expect to be attacked because our sermons are public. Our sermons are out there. Someone asked me some time back said, were you ever interested in being a federal judge? You know, we have to go in front of the U.S. Senate and be confirmed. And I said, I'd love to do it, but there's no way. There's too much ammunition out there for those that are opposed to the things of God to use. My positions are public. Now, praise God, I have not experienced the kind of persecution that I feel like we will have one day. But see, it says they wrought righteousness. They did right. They did justice. They followed God's laws by doing so. They obtained promises, it says in verse 33. They obtained promises. Think about the birth of Isaac, those Old Testament saints that we're talking about here. What a promise. Took decades to be fulfilled. And Abraham lost faith from time to time. But in time, through faith, he obtained the promise of Isaac. And the time came when God said, you've got to sacrifice him in Genesis 22. You know what Abraham did? He kept the faith. And he was willing to do it because he trusted God. He trusted that God was able to raise him from the dead and bring him back and fulfill that promise. What about the faith of Joseph? 17 years old when he was carried into captivity, sold into slavery by his brothers. 30-something years old before the promise of his family being back together and his family bowing down to him was fulfilled. But he obtained it through faith. The exodus from Egypt. Now, you know, I realize the initial generation didn't seem to have the faith that they ought to have, and they didn't get to enter the promised land. But after 40 years wandering in the wilderness, they obtained the promise. Those that were faithful, that younger generation that was faithful, Joshua is and Caleb are the two best examples of that. They stayed faithful when others were not. And we could go on and on. The conquest of Canaan, the return from Babylon. They obtain promises. You know, that return from Babylon is an amazing situation, isn't it? Jeremiah told them, he wrote them in the 19th chapter, or the 29th chapter, I believe it is, of Jeremiah. He wrote a letter to those in captivity and said, this is the letter from God. This is what God says. So I'm sure they're thinking, okay, he's going to tell us what we got to do to band together and leave this place and come back. He said, you sit still, basically, and you marry, and you have families and you build homes because you're going to be here for 70 years. But after 70 years, God is going to bring you back. God is going to bring you back to the land of Judah. It says they stopped the mouths of lions. We know who that's talking about, at least one of them, Daniel. We know that Daniel, story there, account there of Daniel who said to the king, I'm going to keep praying. The king said, the king told Daniel and all those that you couldn't pray anymore to anybody but him, and Daniel just kept praying. You remember in Daniel 6, verse 22, he told the king, my God hath sent his angel and shut the lion's mouths that they have not hurt me. You know, we often say he was in the lion's den. But the truth is, it was just a den of lions. It was God's den. God took care of that. Quenched the violence of fire. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. What a story. What an account. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego told the king Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful to answer thee in this matter, O king. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. But if not, this is the beauty. This is the kind of faith he's talking about. He said, he will deliver us out of thine hand, O God. You know, when we come down before the authorities that have hauled us before them to take our very lives because of our faith, you can rest assured God is going to deliver you one way or the other. In their case, he delivered them through the fiery furnace. But in some cases, he delivers them by the fiery furnace. And we'll come back to that in a moment. Because they said, but if not, he's able to deliver us. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. It says here that some of them escaped the edge of the sword. Remember David escaped from Saul. Elijah escaped from Jezebel. Elisha on the mountain, one of the most beautiful stories of all in 2 Kings 6. There, when the Syrian army came around him and they were encircling the hillside on which he sat, he and his little servant was upset. He saw, woke up that morning and said, "Oh my goodness, we're surrounded by the army." And Elisha said, "Fear not, for they that are with us are more than they that be with them." And he just prayed, "Lord, open his eyes that he may see." And when the Lord opened his eyes, he saw, and he said, "Behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire between Elisha and his servant and that army."
Due to the constraints of time, we will stop the message here. But please join us tomorrow for the conclusion of this message. If you would like to subscribe to our website, please go to www.zionpbc.com and sign up for email updates. If you have any questions, please feel free to contact the church at zionpbc1847@gmail.com. That's zionpbc1847@gmail.com. Or you can email me directly at jchrismccool@gmail.com. That's the letter J, chrismccool@gmail.com. Again, thank you for listening. May the Lord bless you is my prayer.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.